The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Hello, America. Welcome to the program. Congress has granted Charlie Gard and his parents full citizenship and residency here in the United States, which may allow him to move, or them to move or remove, Charlie Gard, the 11-month-old baby, from the hospital in England. The deadline has passed. They were supposed to decide whether or not to turn the life support off about 8 hours ago in England. We're waiting to see what they're going to do now that America is involved. We'll give you the latest and just a heartbreaking interview with his parents and a warning to us here in the United States and the rest of the world. We'll begin with that. Let's do that right now.
Of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Hello, America. We have to get to another story today that is pretty important, and that is the supreme leaders in Iran have just announced earlier this week that the promised one, the 12th Imam, is alive and walking among the people of Iran. And will soon present himself. If you know anything about the 12th Imam and the prophecy, that's really not good news. We'll tell you about that coming up in a second. Also, do you remember the caller from Southern Maryland, Alan? He was calling a local station, WMAL, and he said, "I'm the forgotten man, and all of this stuff with the media has got to stop." I'm going to play the audio for you, and then Alan is going to be joining us next hour. He's a fan of the show, and we found him, and I'm quite anxious to talk to him and see how he's feeling, see what's been happening in his life, and where he's coming from. The forgotten man coming up in just a little while. Also, a Toronto man has built a set of stairs in a park. The city estimated that it would take $65,000. He said, that's ridiculous. By the way, the $65,000 was the low estimate. The high estimate was $150,000. He got a homeless guy to help him build the stairs, and he built it for $550. We'll give you that story because the city is really upset. Coming up in just a second. First, Charlie Gard. We don't know. Midnight last night, London time. They had made the decision. The court had said, we will reevaluate. You have until midnight on Wednesday, Thursday morning. And if we don't have any more good news, we're going to turn the ventilator off of Charlie Gard. So far, we don't have any news of anything that that has happened at the hospital. And we do have the doctor doing the exam. We don't have his results from America. He flew over, was supposed to testify. We don't know about that yet. But we do have an interview that aired on the BBC last night with Charlie Gard's parents as the clock was counting down. And here is a piece of their interview.
One of the hardest things for me was when we actually got the appeal papers. It says Connie Yates and Chris Gard versus Great Ormond Street Hospital and Charlie Gard. And that broke my heart because we're not his mum and dad anymore. They've got parental responsibility. Mm-hmm. And how is that right? If he didn't need a piece of apparatus that was helping him breathe, I could go back to that hospital, pick my son up and take him out of that hospital. But because he's got something blowing air into his lungs, we don't have a chance. He's theirs and they get to say what happens to him. Even though there is another expert in the world that is willing to take him and willing to treat him, they've got their say. They've got so much power, it's unbelievable. You know, he's Charlie Gard, he's our son. and we've got no power over him. And I think people need to know that you've got to be aware that if you take your child into hospital, they're not yours anymore.
We know that here in America, and we are headed down.
Seen it here too.
Yeah, darker road here in America. If we can't free the free market and get healthcare away from the government, there's a great story on how we can help and how the free market and how we can actually band together and start doing some things ourselves to get these high prices down without the government. And we'll share them here in the next few days. And make sure you're watching glennbeck.com, because we're really starting to look at some stories in different ways. And that is the same with the Blaze, but they will start spilling out here as we chart new courses on trying to figure out ways to help and ways to move forward without the government. But there's some really interesting things going on around the country as we're looking into it, about ways to bring the price of medicine down and ways to bring the price of insurance down, with people who are looking at an astronomically high deductible, $5,000, $10,000 deductibles, and $1,500 a month. I mean, what do you have? I mean, most people don't spend $6,000 a month or a year on medical care unless there's a problem. So you're spending $1,500 just for catastrophic? That's crazy. That's really crazy. But that's where we are. So Congress, and the person in Congress who is, what, Jaime Butler? Is that right? Jaime Herrera Butler? This is a U.S. congressperson who had a baby just a few years ago from Washington State. And when their baby was born, they were told, the parents were told, that she had Potter's syndrome. It's rare and usually fatal, and it affects the development of the kidneys. Well, lo and behold, she and her husband recalled the doctor advising them to have an abortion, but she's pro-life, and she decided to contend. Well, Potter syndrome, carried to term, usually means stillborn, or they die soon after death, because you obviously have to have the kidneys, and that's just for development in the womb. They usually die from respiratory failure because they haven't developed their lungs. They managed to convince a doctor to give Abigail saline injections in utero to fight the condition. It's experimental. Other doctors were reluctant to even consider this. Miracle Child received a kidney from her father's last year, turned four last year, believed to be the first baby to have survived birth with no kidneys. Is that amazing? She's four now. Whenever there's a chance for life, how do we not take that chance for life? I mean, especially when people are saying, oh my gosh, if we could just save one child. Well, here's one child we could save. And we may not, but the parents have the money. Do you guys know the story of the parents? Anybody know the story of the parents? Because they, have you noticed they don't comfort each other, which is odd.
Maybe just not in public.
I don't know.
Yeah. I'm not sure if they're together. Are they? Because they're not married, right?
Yeah, but that doesn't mean anything.
No, but I don't know for a fact that they're still
together.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know anything about them either.
Yeah.
But I know that they are. I mean, you know, they're there 24 hours a day and haven't left the baby's bedside. These are
in months.
These are remarkable parents.
Yeah.
Remarkable parents. How are they surviving? They're literally living at the hospital. And they just want to spend more time with the baby. I mean, these are great parents. Can you imagine what he said at the very beginning of that was, looking at the legal documents, that it was the parents versus the hospital and the baby. The baby was not on their side. It was on the hospital side.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
That's nuts.
That's what happens when you get, when you have a government that gets, you know, so big and so powerful, and that's socialism that we just heard from those college kids yesterday. They think is great because they don't understand it. They
yeah,
have
really
no
feel
idea
bad
what it
for
is.
Those social those students. I mean, they have no idea. They've never been taught how to think. They've been taught what to think. They've never been taught how to think, and they've just been grown up in this world where you don't question. You don't have to question. I mean, a world with Google, in a world where questions can be answered so easily, how people don't do their own homework now is just astounding.
Yeah, but already formed ideas can be reinforced so easily as well with Google and the internet, and I think that that's a big part of it.
Yes.
So also, when you're in college and you know people are spending $40,000 and $50,000 a year for your education, maybe it's time for you to take a little responsibility to actually understand the things and look into them a little bit. I mean, I know we can say we feel bad for them, and you know, I don't like the way the education system works, but at some point it becomes your responsibility.
Did you see, you remember the Pew study that just came out that showed that, I don't remember what it was, 80% of conservatives believe that universities are bad for society?
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then it was a really high number on the other side that, you know, disagreed and showed how we were split. Did you notice that there was, on each of those questions, the I don't know was between 21 and 17% on each side? So while we are, while you look at it and say, oh my gosh, people really believe that they're bad, the I don't know numbers are huge, huge. People are just confused. They they don't know what to believe anymore. And I don't either. I just Facebook post something that we can't really share on radio, but go look on the Facebook post. It's this new technology that they're trying to protect, perfect, where you can take the audio of somebody and then a picture of them, and you can make it look just like they're saying it. So if you can get somebody and you can recreate the voice, which we've already shown that they're struggling with this now, trying to perfect the human voice, a voice synthesizer, that they don't have it right yet, but holy cow, with the way that things travel now, the speed at which new technology travels, they'll have it in a couple of years, because it's remarkable. It sounds synthetic now, but it's only because of the inflection and the pacing. There is something to it that you listen to it and you're like, my gosh, that sounds just like the person. You can tell it's not, but it's got something to it that sounds exactly like the person. Once they can perfect that and type in whatever you want, and then you can take a picture of the person and create it so it looks as though that person is saying that. How are you
going to tell what's real and what's not?
You're not going to know.
That Obama thing, I listened to it several times. I couldn't tell it was synthetic.
The voice isn't. What they did is they took the voice from like his radio speeches and interviews.
And just put it into a different.
And they made a synthetic visual of Barack Obama. And you really can't tell. I mean, I would never know. I would never know.
I mean, eventually those things just have less value, right? I mean, you just get to a point where you see someone saying something, and it's just like in movies, right? You just don't believe. I mean, back in the day, you'd think, oh wow, what an amazing stunt that was, and now we're all trained to think, oh, it's CGI, nothing happened, right? And that just, I think, what eventually happens to our society, how you make decisions in that environment is going to be really
really. I went to my doctor the other day, and I love this doctor because he has absolutely no idea who I am. And I walk into the reception, and I give her my insurance card and driver's license. And the receptionist looks up and she says, "Oh my gosh, you know, there's a really famous reporter guy named Glenn Beck." And she's looking at me, and I'm like, Yeah, I've heard that.
Apparently not famous enough.
Yeah, I know. I said, I've heard that. And she said, you're not him, are you? And I said, no. No, I hear that all the time, though. I hear that all the time. And she said, okay, yeah, because he's really famous. And I'm like, I've heard that. So I walk into the doctor, and the doctor also doesn't know who I am. And I love it because I can have a normal conversation with him. And, you know, when I see him, we talk about, you know, the usual stuff that doctors try to say when you first meet them. If, you know, so play any golf lately, you know, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And
he doesn't know who you are.
Yeah, no, he doesn't. He looks at me. He doesn't ask a golf question.
Go outside in the last 6 months? Yeah. No, sir, I have not.
No. Well, to get here, I said, so what's been happening with you, doc? And he said, just trying to figure out the world. And I said, it's kind of upside down right now. And he said, when did we just accept lying from all sides and all sources? When was it okay that presidents and Congress and the media just make stuff up? And we all not only just accept it, we cheer if it agrees with us. And I said, I don't know. I've been trying to figure that out as well. He said, I don't know where we're headed. We started talking about his, you know, his medical career, and he said that he has his, I think, a bachelor's in American history. He said, I really wanted to take history as well. And so he was, you know, looking into that. And I said, who's your two favorite people in all of American history? He said, George Washington and Abraham Lincoln. And I said, why? And he said, because they wouldn't have put up with this. They were different. They did the right thing. They knew what the right thing was. And they just self-sacrificed and did the right thing. Both self-educated guys. They knew the difference between right and wrong and did it. We can get there again. And we have to get there again. And we have to get there again before you look at video and you can't tell if that's synthesized or not. Now this, if your job search includes juggling emails and calls, stop. There is a better way. With ZipRecruiter, all you have to do is screen, rate, and manage candidates, all with ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use dashboard. Now, other job sites depend on candidates finding you, but with ZipRecruiter, it finds them. With one click, you post your job to 100+ job sites. Then this technology goes out and it matches the right people to your job. Over 80% of jobs posted at ZipRecruiter get a qualified candidate within just 24 hours. And right now, you can post at ZipRecruiter for free. For free, just go to ZipRecruiter.com/Beck. Post your job on 100+ job sites and see the people start to roll in. ZipRecruiter.com/Beck. Try it for free. ZipRecruiter.com/Beck. We are
one. The Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Sign up for the newsletter and get all the info you need to know at glennbeck.com.
Let me tell you about the Toronto man who was a little upset because the Toronto Community Park had taken an estimate for these stairs that need to be redone. And nobody wants to rip off the city, right? The estimate was between $65,000 and $150,000. Now, that's just to put, you know, some stairs down. The guy who built the stairs for $550 said, I really thought, when I saw that estimate, I thought they were talking about an escalator. So what he did was he hired a homeless person to help him, and he built. Now, remember, we're talking about a huge flight of stairs. We're talking about going down a hill and, we're talking about eight stairs. $150,000. The lowest estimate was $65,000. He built it with a homeless guy in a matter of hours for $550. The city of Toronto is upset. They say he didn't follow the regulations, and they may just have to pull those up and now start all over again.
What? I bet they could do that for under $250,000, though.
Well, you have to take them out now.
The Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury.
The Glenn Beck Program.
Hello, welcome to the program. I want to talk a little bit about some poll numbers here. I saw a poll that, you know, Donald Trump's, you know, positive rating is, what, 43% now? And they're saying that's horrible and awful, and it is.
Well, the latest one was 36%, but...
The average is around 39.
The average is 38 or 39.
Okay, so I saw one that was Donald Trump 43, Hillary Clinton 39. So have you guys, has anybody heard anybody mention that Hillary Clinton is polling around the same as Donald Trump? And she hasn't done anything. Remember, absence makes the heart grow fonder.
Yeah, Bush's approval rating, he left with around 30%, and it's up over 50 now.
And she was, what happens. Her whole campaign strategy was shut her up, don't let her talk, and she won't hurt herself. And her approval rating was supposed to go up just by making her go away. She's at 39%. So for the high and mighty Democrats, we're both screwed, guys. Both sides are screwed. Who do you have? Who does America have that you can pull out and say, here's the next president? I will tell you, somebody who's playing it really, really brilliantly, who is acting like a president and who is not plastic. In fact, I've read his book, and it's the first book that I've read from a politician where he actually wrote it. And it's not about policy. It's about family and everything else. Ben Sasse.
Yeah.
I mean, that guy is positioning himself to be a guy that could be trusted for both sides. Now, whether anybody wants a nice guy, I don't know.
And I think, obviously, Donald Trump is likely, unless he decides to leave office himself, is going to be there for 2020. But Sasse is young.
2024.
Yeah. I mean, he's young. He seems to engage well on social media. He's funny. He's engaging. I mean, he's really smart.
You remember when he was on The Daily Show and he hit it out of the park? And I believe when he left, they were talking on The Daily Show going, that is the most dangerous conservative out there because he was so likable.
Yeah.
Chris Hemsworth. Now, isn't Chris Hemsworth isn't he Thor? Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So Chris Hemsworth, when asked who is going to play the next James Bond, he said that he believes that it should be a woman. Charlize Theron.
Are you trying to just tempt me into an Atomic Blonde conversation? Because right? I'll do it right now.
Okay, so wait a minute. Hang on just a second.
And that's okay, weird, because she is that kind of character.
She is that kind of character.
In Atomic Blonde.
And so I saw, I haven't seen Atomic Blonde, but I saw the trailer. Over and over and over and over again. I watch it sometimes just on repeat.
What? Oh, where did you see it? Was there a particular show that maybe has aired it 25 times in the last week that you know of?
Well, the Pat and Stu show has aired that over and over again. And
I could say, have we played that?
My iPad just plays it over and over and over again.
Oh, you have that same iPad virus? I do too.
It just plays the Atomic Blonde trailer over and over and over again.
It's so annoying.
Anyway. It looks fantastic, and she's one of my favorite actresses. I've loved her since, her and James Spader since 2 Days in the Valley. Just outrageous fun and great, and this looks tremendous. And I thought, if this is as good as the trailer, this is going to be a continual character. They will, unless she dies at the end, which I can't believe any movie studio would kill off a character like this.
No way.
She could play this like a female James Bond. But here's what Chris Hemsworth said. He believes the next James Bond should be a woman. Now, I don't...
Why?
Yes.
It's been written as a man. It is a man. We've come to know him as a man. The name is James Bond. It's a man. Wow. Why? Why would that... Why should be a woman? That is...
Well, maybe he...
Bizarre.
He would make some changes in his life.
Bizarre.
And identify in a different way.
No one would ever say,
the next Wonder Woman should be a man.
That would be so great. Stupid. It's such insanity. Well, what is happening?
Again, it's, you know what it is? I think it is the BBC virus. I really do. I think the BBC has gone full-fledged nuts. They make great television shows. They really make great television shows. But if you were just watching the BBC, you would think that the homosexuality and bi and questioning population was about 89%.
Yes.
Because it's just like every...
Bad. Yes.
No, every single show has that. I think it's an edict at the BBC. I really do. It's remarkable. And so... I think it's just England is just going nuts with political correctness that, you know what, maybe James Bond should be a woman.
The hatred that I'm hearing in this room.
What are you?
Are you hearing it, Jeffy?
I am.
I mean, the hate, it's dripping off of you. We need a tolerance towel to come in and dry you off from the hatred dripping off of you. You know, in Atomic Blonde, this is something that people are not aware of. Charlize Theron has an open mind about such issues as far as sexuality is concerned. I think that's it's an interesting part of the plot that that may be investigated by some viewers who've already bought tickets.
Who do you know?
I'm just saying that they're available in advance now.
Does it open this weekend?
Unfortunately, no.
Oh.
Unfortunately, no.
When does this open?
I was thinking of a Watergate type break into the studio, just to kind of.
It's been a long time since I've wanted to see a movie as bad as Atomic Blonde.
Looks dope. I mean, obviously, Charlize Theron is attractive. However, the movie does look freaking awesome.
Yeah.
The idea of her just kicking everybody's butt, it looks great.
I love the scene. I mean, I love the scene where it just opens up and she says, you know, I knew the risks of this job and, you know, it was going to eventually kill me. And she reaches in the champagne bucket and she kills 8 people, but not today. I just love that.
I just love that. Like, I am at the point now where if it's not the greatest movie of all time, I'm going to be incredibly disappointed. It has to be number one, not number two, number one greatest movie of all time or nothing. That's all I will accept from this film.
This thing is going to have a hard time living up to the trailer.
Sure. Yes.
Oh, you know, totally. You wonder because
especially ever gone to those movies.
Ever gone to those movies where the trailer was great?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go to the movie and you're like, that is a different movie.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
That is not the same movie.
It happens a lot.
Oh, yeah. It happens a lot with comedies where they put like 6 funny jokes in there and then you realize there's only 6 funny jokes in the movie. Yeah. This one, however, it highlights what appears to be at least 10 different amazing action sequences outside of whatever else happens in the movie. I don't even know. It reminds me of how excited I was to see Taken. It's on that level where like it looks.
Well, I was excited to see Taken until I saw Taken.
Taken was amazing.
No,
what are you talking about?
You did not have girls that age. When you have daughters that age, that movie freaked you out.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. Yes. Yeah. But I mean, that's a positive for the movie. It's trying to
freak
you out.
I went to their house and like, you are never leaving your house. You are never... Dad, we just wanted to go to the store. No, there's European food there. Something bad could happen.
They have a croissant. But I mean, think about the formula here. Taken, which was amazing, despite Glenn's understandable opposition to that particular point. And then you're removing Liam Neeson and putting Charlize Theron in it.
Way better.
This is the ultimate upgrade.
Yeah.
Like, do we want an old white guy or Charlize Theron in there? I don't know. I've got a recommendation.
Which Fandango's already heard about it.
Which makes Chris Hemsworth's proclamation all the more stupid.
You know,
she's already got that role. There's already a woman in a new role. Why do you need to also put her in the old role?
It would be Chris.
Yes.
Could Thor be a woman?
Come on, stop it.
I know.
And you know what? And the funny thing is, if you asked him that straight out, he'd say yes.
Absolutely. I think that would be an amazing change, and I would be willing to step out of my $500 million role to do it, too.
And that you know what that is? That is Liam Neeson when he's playing Aslan, going, it could be Muhammad.
No, it can't.
No, it can't.
Yeah, it's like you have to say that.
Jesus.
Yeah, yes.
Could be Muhammad. Could be, a sock puppet.
Buddha.
I don't know.
Yeah, David Koresh. It could be David Koresh. We don't know.
By the way, did you see the latest on Kermit the Frog, this scandal that Kermit the Frog has been...
No, there's more than what we talked about.
There's more than what we talked about. So now there's a new story out from Henson, from the daughter of Jim Henson, who said, it wasn't my father that gave him the role. It was my brother who gave him the role. And this is almost a quote. You have to look this up. It's amazing. And the way he's been playing Kermit the last few years, Kermit has become an angry, bitter, like sass mouth frog. And I'm like,
what?
I have to go back and look at some of the new Muppet movies. I might enjoy that. Has anybody noticed that he had become bitter? What is Kermit the Frog?
It's probably time after being treated like by Miss Piggy, getting beaten by Miss Piggy for how long?
He's been a victim of domestic abuse. I just see Kermit with a cigarette hanging from his mouth, flipping bacon in a pan.
That bitch will never talk to me like that again.
I mean, what is an angry, bitter Kermit like? I just can't imagine it. All right. Now this FBI cybercrime report says over $1 billion lost to internet crimes and scams in 2015. That affected people all across the country. Somebody's identity is stolen every 2 seconds. Now, LifeLock, they will detect a wide range of identity threats. And if there's a problem, the U.S.-based identity restoration specialist is going to work to fix it. Now, nobody can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses. But you can now get added protection of Norton Security for free for the first year when you bundle Norton and LifeLock memberships. Now, what does Norton do? Norton makes sure that nobody is sending a virus. And you've seen how nasty these viruses are getting. You don't want a virus taking over your computer, taking all of your stuff, holding it hostage. Norton will help that. And LifeLock will give that to you for free for the first year when you bundle Norton and LifeLock memberships. Plus, for a limited time, you'll also get a special 15% discount off the first year of your LifeLock membership. So there's no way to go wrong here. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK, 1-800-LIFELOCK, or go to lifelock.com. Use the promo code BECK15. That's BECK15. Save 15% today. Terms and conditions do apply. It's lifelock.com/BECK15 or 1-800-LIFELOCK.
Glenn Beck Program.
888-727-BECK.
Mercury.
The Glenn Beck Program.
Some actually sad news yesterday. John McCain has been diagnosed with brain cancer. He went in and had a cancerous brain tumor removed right behind his eye. They went in to remove a brain clot, and they at least announced yesterday that... he's recovering amazingly well, and his underlying health is excellent, with an exception of brain cancer. This is actually what Pat's mother-in-law just died from. Same thing, had a tumor behind her eye, brain cancer.
They took it out and came back in a year. And so, yeah, it's an aggressive cancer. Yeah,
and that's what they said. The doctors at Mayo Clinic said this is a very aggressive form of cancer. And
we have had our differences with Senator John McCain over the years, obviously. But, you know, the one thing you can never take away from him is his heroic service in Vietnam. I mean, he is a man that you can use to teach your son or daughter about what a real man is like and what an honorable man is like. When he was over in Vietnam, he could have been released, and he refused to be released from the Hanoi Hilton because he wasn't going to leave the rest of his teammates there. And, you know, the man's never been able to lift his arms over his head since then because they would pull him out of the sockets all the time. He was a remarkable man. It still is a remarkable man. But our thoughts and prayers are with Senator John McCain. So who could take over for him if he were to retire? Is there anybody? I mean, Jeff Flake is kind of...
He's already obviously a senator.
Yeah.
That's right, he is.
Yeah. Oof, how did that happen?
I don't know. Let's just hope we don't have to think about that, you know? I mean, at some point that will... he may retire or not run again, or God only knows. But
yeah. I would imagine if you get this, I mean, wouldn't you retire? Wouldn't you want to just spend it with your family?
Yeah, I think I would. But you know, he's been there for. I don't think, you know. I think you have to have a certain way of going about things to want to stay in Washington as long as he has. I mean, I would have no desire to do that. So I mean, I'm sure he sees that as his calling at this point, and was going to want to try to stay as long as he can. But this is
those guys hang on, right? This is the same thing that I think Teddy Kennedy had as well. So, and did he hang on until the end? Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Oh yeah.
That you're right. It's their calling. They're not going to go anywhere. They believe they're supposed to be there.
So here's an interesting new fact out from the PPP polling. New survey from the Democratic polling firm PPP. Do they have good?
They're a Democratic. I mean, they're a legitimate polling firm. Okay. They are a little, they're definitely left leaning and a little quirky with their questioning. Like the last questions that kind of set up premises that they think will play well in social media, which is a little.
So here's what's interesting. Only 45% of Trump supporters believe that Donald Trump Jr. met in that meeting with that Russian lawyer. Even though Trump himself admitted it, only 45% believe it. Never happened. Program.
Mercury.
The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Hello, America. Welcome to the program. Last Friday, I played some audio from WMAL radio from a guy who is the forgotten man that has affected so many people in our audience. I want to start the hour with that audio again and then introduce you. We have found him and he's on the phone and I can't wait to talk to him. Alan from Southern Maryland is all we knew him as last week. We'll know him a little bit more beginning right now.
I will make a stand. I will raise my voice.
Of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Last week, a guy calls in to WMAL and says this.
Alan in Southern Maryland, you're on WMAL. Go, Alan.
I'm sick of the Donald Trump stuff, all the Trump stuff. I consider myself one of the forgotten men and women. I'm worried about job creation. I'm worried about tax cuts. I need more money. I'm living paycheck to paycheck. They just cut off my cable bill. I'm rubbing two nickels together. My girl can't find a job to help me. We're out here struggling. And these people don't get it. I mean, they really don't get it. I don't have money. I mean, I'm cutting back on my medicine, my groceries. She can't find a job.
Do you feel like the president, Alan? Do you feel like the president is keeping his head down and doing what he promised to do to try to help you and other Americans like you? Do you think he's?
If they let him do it and give him a chance,
yeah.
They're fighting him every step of the way. We need help out here. We've been struggling for years under Obama, and he had the right message. That's we murdered him in because of that. And we need tax cuts. I need a couple extra dollars on my paycheck every week. We need jobs.
Thanks, Alan.
We need Trump. And these liberal, the press and all this, they need to get off of that and think about us that's out here putting our boots on every day, getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning, going to work, and trying to provide for our families. And it's hard. I love you, Larry.
An amazing phone call. I just want to highlight some of the words. I'm one of the forgotten men. I'm worried. I'm worried about jobs. I'm worried about tax cuts. I'm living paycheck to paycheck. I'm rubbing two nickels together. We're struggling, and these people don't get it. We need help out here. We're struggling. We need jobs. I wish the press would think about us, those who are putting our boots on and getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning. It's hard. So who was it that voted for Donald Trump, and who was it that is supporting Donald Trump now? The press just can't figure it out. It's people like this, who I don't think it really is about Donald Trump. I'm anxious to hear from Alan. I think it's about the pain that people are going through. And somebody had better start listening to them and helping them. Alan Hoyt joins us now. Hi, Alan. How are you, sir?
Hey, Mr. Beck, how are you today, sir?
I'm good. Tell me about the day you called in to WMAL and what you were feeling.
Well, I just feel like I'm left out. I feel like, I don't know, I just feel like there's a whole lot of us out here. We're doing our best. We're doing what we're supposed to do. But everything is centered around other concerns, and we're just trying to make a living, and we're just trying to do the right thing, and we just need some extra money in our paycheck. We're back to eating noodles. It's where I live at. It's like 2 hours to get to work for a 6-hour day and then 2 hours to go home. And my girl, finally, she just has a job interview 1.5 hours up the road for 2 days a week. That's the best she can find. And I need her help, and she wants to help me, but they just don't understand that we're the ones out here paying the taxes, and we're the ones. They're about everything but the right thing, and that's just, how do you help your fellow man, and how do we get by if we're struggling?
So, Alan, tell me a little bit about yourself. Tell me who you are, what you do for a living. Did you have good times? Were there good times in your past with your job? Tell me a little bit about yourself.
Well, right now I just took a break. I'm on a 120-degree roof fixing an air conditioner for a customer because they're complaining it's hot, hot, hot. I don't know what these people would have did back in the 1800s when they didn't have no air conditioner, electricity, or heater. But I'm on a roof right now. I just took a break. I'm sitting in the back of my truck. The sun's beating down on me. I'm burning up. But I got to do what I got to do. I mean, I make pretty decent money, but I just can't get enough hours in. Unless I do overtime, I had to request it and work my day off just to try to make extra money. I'm just everyday American. I'm just out here doing, I hate kind of what I do. I've been doing it for 20 years. I mean, I'm pretty good at what I do, but I really got to suffer sometimes. I mean, sometimes I'm on a roof for 8 hours and I'm in the blistering sun, it's taking a toll on me. And I don't know how much longer I can do this and throw a 32-foot ladder up against a building and climb up there and stay outside all day fixing comfort for everybody else when I'm out here hurting.
So
I keep my thermostat at the house at 78 degrees just to keep back on the bill. You know what I mean? We keep the house barely decently. I don't know, Mr. Beck. I'm just out here trying to maintain, and I just don't have the funds. We don't go out to restaurants anymore. We don't do anything. We just, like, pretty much we're cabin fevered in. I go to work, come home, stay in. And she's trying to find a job. She's on the Internet every day just applying for this and applying for that. And hopefully this 2-day
week job will pan out for her, because I can use the extra little bit of money every week. But
when did America change for you? When did things get tough for you? Under Obama, under Bush? When did things change?
Well, I really think it was under the Obama administration with the taxes. I seen more money coming out of my paycheck every week. I get paid biweekly, and it's like $400-some I have to pay in taxes. That's state, federal, my Social Security, all that. It's like $400. If I can just keep $200 of that, I'm stretching out my credit cards now, and I'm stealing from Peter to pay Paul. I got to budget money around and flip things around to where I'm keeping everybody happy without having them come after me, repossess my vehicles, or foreclose on my house. It's I don't know, Mr. Beck.
Have you just trying to get a sense of who you are. Have you always voted for Republicans? What's your voting history? Have you always been a conservative?
I grew up in Baltimore City, and there was it was all Democrats down there. And back in the day, you had to know somebody to get a job. A lot of the guys, the fathers of my friends were like in the union representatives. Mm-hmm. So if you wanted a decent job, you had a pretty much, I remember Mr. Joe. You were walking this house at Christmas time, and all the Christmas cards were all the way around his whole living room, stretched on a wall from all the people that sent him in Christmas cards. And I think most of the Christmas cards he got was just people kind of like kissing his butt, because he was the union representative for the steam fitters. And I was like amazed to see all the Christmas cards hanging on his wall, but it was all people that was just looking for favors. I got into the union. It wasn't what I wanted to be part of, because it was like a little cult, and I didn't like the way, you know, it was the union. It wasn't for me. So I'm non-union worker now. They call me a scab. I'm kind of like, I make as much as a union person, but when I wasn't a union, they just took my money every month, and I really didn't get anything out of it. But I grew up in Baltimore City, and it's like it was the pay-to-play type thing to get a decent job. And now, Baltimore City has went to hell in a handbasket. And when I grew up down there, it was a beautiful thing. Everybody got out every weekend and scrubbed their steps and swept the sidewalks. My job was to scrub out the trash cans in the backyard and squirt down the alley. But now you go up to Baltimore, it's trash 6 inches deep on the sidewalks. But my pain actually started when Obama got elected. I mean, I had nothing against the man. My son's a biracial child. I raised him from my wife I lost a couple of years back to cancer. It was her child from another relationship. But it really like all started under the Obama administration when he started changing things, and taxes just seemed to skyrocket.
So how has the media failed you?
Well, the media is okay. I kind of watch. Oh, I miss you so much on Fox News. I used to watch you every night. I couldn't wait to get home to tune in with you.
Thank you.
Especially with the big chalkboard and all the pictures of this guy linked to that guy.
Right.
You really taught me a lot. And I think at that point, I started really coming around. I was listening to CNN, and then a friend of me told me Fox is fair and balanced. So I changed my political perspective on things just by being educated by people like you. But I listened to like MSNBC and CNN just to see their slant of the topic, and like Rachel Maddow, she's something else. But I listened to them, and then I turned to the truth, and I listened for voices like you out there so I can really know the truth. And then I can make a judgment. Is it affecting me the way it is, or is it what they're describing, which I know is a false narrative. We put Trump in the office, because we believe what he was saying. He's promised to help us. That's all we wanted, some help. And I got calluses on my hands. And real men have calluses. We're out here. It's just everyday people that go to work, and we work hard, but we don't really have nothing to show for it. We just have to live paycheck to paycheck because we're not bringing enough money in. I mean, I make fairly decent money, but it's not enough for my bills. I can't stay on top of everything, and it drives me to the point sometimes. I've got so suicidal sometimes just thinking about all the crap that's going on in my life, and it's
it's not because of me not willing to work. I just wish there was more work.
How is how do you feel about Donald Trump? Is he doing everything he can?
I think he's really putting the best foot forward. He's just being fought every step of the way. They're just blocking everything he's trying to accomplish. I mean, even all his successes is not even being reported. I understand that the border crossings are down because of him. It was just from words,
yes,
and not actions. And he's really wanting to do what he promised, but they're just blocking him. The whole smear with the Democrats and the media is just to paint him with a broad brush that he is some kind of demon, some kind of guy that's not, you know, he wasn't worth being elected for, and he's not going to do anything for us. And all they do is report all the bad, negative stuff, and they don't really highlight any of the good stuff.
So what does the media need to learn, Alan? What do they always question, you know, who is supporting Donald Trump, and how come we're not trusted? What would you say to them?
I would say, come to work with me one day. Get up at 4 o'clock, put your boots on, get in my truck, and go with me every day when I go to work. Be on a 120-degree roof, giving people their comfort back. Share my lunch with me, which is a bologna sandwich, because I can't afford chip pan. Just come to work with me and see what we're dealing with out here. And just let one day working with me, you'll realize that how hard things are. And then they're speaking all this other stuff that's really not important to people like us. We want tax cuts. I mean, if I can get an extra $100 in my paycheck every week, I would love that. That would help me so much to get by a little bit further. But all they want to do is talk about Donald Trump Jr., Donald Trump, Russia, this and that. And we're not worried about that. We're worried about how are we going to survive one day at a time, and how do we put food on our tables? How do we afford to go out to dinner, and how do we afford to, you know, have a good weekend and be able to go to the ocean? Or we can't afford none of that, because every day our money that we earn has to be dedicated to something else, and there's nothing left over by the time you pay all your bills.
What's the most important thing to you? The tax relief, insurance, border? What's the most important thing to you? If he could do one thing, what should it be?
Tax reform. Just cut the taxes back. I know he went to 10%. Now it's up to 20. I know you got to give and take, but I really need relief from my paycheck. I just need to bring home a little bit more than what I'm allowed to bring home, because they're taking it all from me. And I can't see. Oh, and this is the craziest thing. My 17-year-old son worked last year a part-time job, and when I filed taxes, I claimed him on my earned income tax credit. He went and claimed himself. He was so proud to file his taxes. 17 years old, made $1,400. Now that screwed up my taxes. I got the federal and the state after me now, wanting $2,600 back, saying I had to pay them back because he claimed himself. I didn't know. I was supposed to use a different form. But the taxes, I mean, why can't it be a simple one little form, and why do they have to take so much? I mean, they tax me right up front, and then everything I buy and everything I use, I had to pay more taxes on that. I wish it was like a fair tax or something like that. I mean, they're just, oh, my God, my paycheck is like $400-some comes out every 2 weeks, just taxes alone, and I can really use that money.
You know, I was just thinking, I'm just going to write you a check for the $2,600, but you better check, because if I give you the $2,600, they're going to charge you for that $2,600 that I give you, and then you'll be even in more trouble. But let me take care of your tax bill of $2,600.
Wow, Mr. Beck, you're my angel.
Please just call me Glenn, and if you'll hold on, we'll get some information, and we'll send you a check. But know that this damn government's going to charge you.
Oh, you're totally screwed.
You're totally screwed, because they're going to, next year, you'll have to claim the $2,600. And so it's, you know, save your money if you can, because they're going to charge you for it next year. Alan?
Well, I had to file appeals and stuff, and I got to file a special thing, and
And it was amazing how I got the federal and the state comptroller's letter at the same time. It's like they're in cahoots with each other. I got both letters at the same time. It's like they're done with the big fish. Now they want the little fish.
Alan, thank you so much. God bless. And try to stay cool today. God bless. We'll talk to you again. If you hold on for just a second, and if the producers can get his address and some information. Now this, best way to protect your home and family, make your home a fortress, with SimpliSafe. When you install SimpliSafe, the home security system, you are arming your home with the most powerful sensors that will actually tell you if a door opens or a window breaks. And it will also alert everybody, not only in the house, but outside the house. There's a 105 decibel siren that alerts you for the first sign of trouble. Tanya has two ear infections right now. And so it's like living with an old lady. I keep talking to her, and it's nice in some ways. My son and I are enjoying this. She can't hear us. And so we have to shout at her. Yesterday, she opened up a door and had the alarm on, and she didn't hear the boop, 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 the warning that you got to turn off the alarm. And she set off the 105 decibel. She heard that.
I bet.
Yeah. You have a dedicated team of security professionals watching over you 24/7, ready to send the police, which they did. With SimpliSafe, no long-term contracts, $14.99 a month. Don't spend another night second-guessing about your home safety, because right now SimpliSafe is having their biggest ever summer sale. Get $100 off the exclusive summer package. It's for a limited time only. Go right now to SimpliSafeBeck.com. $100 off SimpliSafeBeck.com.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
The Glenn Beck Program.
You know, what's really remarkable is what some people heard last week. They were listening to the words and they heard, we need help, we need help, we need help. And some conservatives thought, you know, well, that's not the government's job. But if you listen to what he's saying,
the help he's talking about is really being left alone.
I want the opportunity to work more.
And to keep more of my own money.
Right. I want tax relief.
Yeah.
Just stop taking so much of my money and help create jobs. Get out of the way so jobs can be created so I can go out and work. He's talking about his girl going out and trying to find a job. Can't find a job. I mean, a guy who's not taking welfare, who's working on a roof. I mean, I see these guys in the summer all the time and thank God.
How are you doing it?
How are you doing it?
Yeah.
You know, the people who are working outside in on the streets now, how are you doing it? But being up on a roof 120 degrees and not saying I don't want to, saying I can't do this much longer. I need more of my own money, and I need to work more now. That's help? No, that's common sense. And that's who the media and the government are missing. And that's whose voice needs to be heard. 888-727-BECK.
The Glenn Beck Program. Mercury. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Welcome to the program. Let's go to Sean in New Hampshire. Hello, Sean. You're on the Glenn Beck Program.
How you doing this morning, guys? Good to hear you.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, I just wanted to comment on that story you just had. I can really identify with what that guy's saying. You know, it's just my feeling is just leave me alone. Give me my paycheck. I'll pay a percentage of my taxes. And if I want health insurance, I'll go out and get it. You know, for me, it's just I shouldn't be forced to have to do all that stuff. And, you know, I was telling the guy that screened me that I don't believe the Republicans give a crap any more about us than the Democrats do. I just think that it's one big club and we're not invited to it. And it's getting old. It's getting really old. And we can see that the Republicans are really not interested in reforming this health care thing. But, you know, I don't care anymore. I'm just sick of hearing about it all.
What evidence do you have on that except for every other example?
So Sean, so what does that mean? Because I agree with you, and it's kind of been our point for a while that the Republicans are, I mean, it's the same game. Everybody's playing the same game. and they keep coming to us and trying to convince us that we're they're different. Well, no, I'm different. Well, no, you're not. And it's they're just playing this game, and they're not interested in repealing Obamacare or actually fixing the problem, because even their fix did nothing to actually relieve the cost of health care to the average American. So what do we do? Where does that leave you?
This is just history repeated. You know, I love listening to you, Glenn. You're a great historian. I love listening to your stories. I wish you had your own separate thing about just talking about history. But this is just all history repeated to me. I mean, nobody has ever really been interested in helping people. They're interested in gain. And I think that everything in this world now is just about money. What can we take out of your pocket and put into ours? Yeah. That's what it's all about. Everything is about money.
Yeah.
There isn't anything going through that's not about money. And it's just old. It's an old story. It's been told for millennia. And it's not going to change. And you know why it's not going to change, Glenn. I mean, it's hopeful to want that change. It's hopeful to, you know, think, oh, we can change. But we can't, because it's the same story over and over again.
Well, I, if I may, disagree with you a bit. Once we accept that we cannot change it, then we don't. And we just surrender to it. And I'm not surrendering to it. I do believe that enough people, because we have evidence of it, there are times when kings and dictators rule the world. And they take up the treasures of the world, and they buy armies and navies, and they rule with terror all around the world. And somehow or another, the little guy does win from time to time. But it takes a group of us knowing who we are and what is true and what we will take and what we won't to stand up and say enough is enough. And not be duped. And it's getting harder and harder not to be duped. Let me ask you this, Sean. Did you see Eric Erickson's piece on Fox News the other day where he said it's time to call the bluff on Mitch McConnell? Now, for the last 8 months, Mitch McConnell has been, for some reason, the GOP darling again. And everybody believed that he was really going to be the guy who would help. He and Paul Ryan would really help. He hasn't helped at all. Everything is failing.
The reason is one named Neil Gorsuch, which he held the line on in 2016. And that is why I think he's back in the good graces, or has been.
It's time for him to go. I mean, he's not. I mean, tax reform. There is no reason that the GOP, House and Senate, should not be passing tax reform right now. They control it. Pass it.
I didn't see that piece. I don't watch that stuff anymore. I had
Good
to turn
you.
It off. And sometimes, you know, I have to turn you off sometimes, too, because I just can't listen to it anymore. It's too overwhelming. And I don't think that we should just say, oh, we can't beat it and therefore surrender. It's just, I mean, what I mean by that is I have to accept the fact that these guys are in for it for personal gain. Now, is Donald Trump in it for personal gain? I think his ego is so big, that's what he's into it for. He doesn't care about financial at this point. It's his ego, I believe, that he's trying to bolster. But nobody wants to work with the man. Nobody wants to help the man. And I just think that right now, at this point in time, this is the party, and we're not allowed to go. And we don't have an invitation. So I have to unplug. That's what I mean by, I have to accept that this isn't the time that anybody wants to do anything.
Okay, Sean, wait, one more thing.
Yep.
I do want to do something. I do want to help. I just don't think I can help in Washington, D.C., because it's just corrupt. So how can I serve you? How can I help you? How can I not be a source of friction and problem in your life to where you just, you know, I got to turn it off? Because I know that's happening because I do it.
I don't personally look to you to say, how can Glenn help me? I like listening to the information that you provide. I like the fact that you're, you know, not afraid to put that information out there. Like I said, I love to listen to your history.
stuff and listen to the stuff that we don't get in the classrooms. I could sit and listen to that stuff all day. Fortunately, I can do that here at work because nobody else is around. But it's great to be able to plug that stuff in and listen to it and learn. And therefore, when the time comes and my decision, you know, to punch a card or to circle out a name when voting time comes, you know, I've got some information in my corner, and I can, you know, investigate the people that are campaigning and choose the one that I think is best. I was a Cruz supporter myself, and I was not a Trump supporter, but I at least see that Trump is trying to do something here, where other people just conformed and followed the party rules, and it's kind of sad, but. I mean, I think for me, you're doing what you need to do for me. If I had to look to you for support, you're doing what you need to do. You're putting out the information and trying to teach me something that I don't know.
Sean, thank you very much. I appreciate it. Sheldon in Massachusetts. Hello, Sheldon.
Glenn, I think the reason that I'm frustrated is because these politicians will not even attempt to work together. All they want to do is get reelected. An example of this is when Trump went and pulled out of the Paris Accord, Elizabeth Warren immediately tweeted out how horrible it was. My tweet to her was, the president has just said he is going to try and rework this deal and see if we can become involved. The Democrats won't even go to him and say, here's my idea, and for to maybe even be shot down or to maybe work together. The problem is that we are all out here working our butts off. I happen to play golf with a union pressman for the Boston Globe who couldn't be any further politically from me than if possible. We sit down over a beer after playing golf. We agree on so much more than we disagree on, but these politicians won't allow us to give our input.
I don't think the media will either. I don't think the media really, in many cases on both sides, want us to be able to talk to each other, because that is true. When we actually sit down with each other, and you're not talking to the people who are in the throes of knighting kings or princes or, you know, appointing the next or feeling like they can appoint the next person. When you really get to the people who are looking at the problems, I mean, there is absolutely no reason we cannot solve this healthcare thing. There's no reason. We obviously can solve it. We have to know what our objectives are. And what is our objective? To actually take care of the people who don't have health care, knowing that no one's going to die because no hospital can turn somebody away. So no one's going to die. So let's stop with that. But do we want to overrun our hospitals? No. We want to find a way that we can care for people who need the help. Okay, let's find that. Now, because that wasn't the real intention, that was the stated goal, but not the real intention under the Obama administration, what we've done is we've created a second problem. And that is now no one who had a doctor that they liked, had insurance that they liked, can go to that doctor or pay for that insurance. They now have a $5,000 deductible and $1,500 a month to pay for insurance. We have to solve that one, too. One will involve the government. The other will involve the government getting out of the way. Now, there's no way that reasonable people who don't have to raise money for a campaign, don't have to worry about their poll numbers. There's no reason that reasonable people can't get together and figure that out. We're Americans. You know, today is the anniversary of the day we went to the moon. I mean, geez, we put a man on the moon after John F. Kennedy says, what was it, in 62? I want to put a man on the moon and bring him home safely because we're Americans, not because it's easy, but because it's hard. We put a man on the moon with the computing power of your iPhone. And we can't figure this one out? It's absurd. It's absurd. Thanks, Sheldon. I appreciate your phone call. Here's our sponsor this half hour. It's My Patriot Supply. Looks like we have more trouble in North Korea. U.S. intelligence is telling us today that looks like they are making preparations for a next possible missile test. Now, this is kind of good.
because when they launch a missile, they have these missiles that can travel all around the country. And we don't know, we can't watch them prepare. So for us, our satellites now detecting new imagery and satellite-based radar emissions indicating that they may be testing components and missile control facilities for another ICBM intermediate launch. For us to be able to pick that up, that's good news to be able to destroy them. The bad news is, you know, this comes on the heels yesterday. Vice Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff says a preemptive strike is on the table. This is trouble. And man, you know this. In today's world, we can't predict what's going to happen next. Just when you think the insane is going to happen. Last hour, we were talking about Christopher, what's his name? Chris Hemsworth? Is that his name?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The guy who plays Thor. He just said, you know, that Bond should be played by a woman. The next James Bond should be a woman. And I said, yeah, right. Well, let's ask him if Thor should be a woman. Before we turn the microphones off, people were tweeting going, guys, in the comic books, Thor is a woman now. Come on. Just when you think the world can't go more insane, it has. My Patriot Supply. Call them now. Be prepared for a world gone insane. To be self-reliant. 1-800-942-2325. 1-800-942-2325. Or you can go to preparewithglenn.com. You get 1,000 servings of survival food. It's the Glenn Beck special for only $9.97. Less than a dollar per serving. Breakfast, lunch, dinner, snacks, fruits, veggies, $9.99. Preparewithglenn.com, 1-800-942-2325.
You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury. This is
the Glenn Beck Program.
888-727-BCK. Let's go to Julie. Hello, Julie. Welcome to the Glenn Beck Program.
Hello. I've just got a couple questions.
Yes.
I mean, we keep talking about how insurance and how Social Security is always in trouble and we're always paying as much. If the Constitution says that they pass no laws that they won't abide, then why aren't they using the same insurance? Why aren't they going on Social Security? And I think it'd be fixed.
Well, I tend to agree with you. We have given them so many perks and so many excuses and so many ways for them to get rich. I mean, it always amazes me. These guys come into Congress and suddenly they're multimillionaires. And you wonder, how did that happen? Well, because they don't have to apply by rules like insider trading. They can pass laws, and before it's passed, they know it's going to happen. They can invest.
Until Peter Schweitzer's book. I mean, when that came out, they had to change a lot of those rules. But, I mean, that really opened everybody's eyes to that whole process.
I mean, you look at a guy like Mike Lee, Senator Mike Lee. I think he's the poorest guy in the Senate. And he's going more poor. He's growing more poor. I mean, he's not enriching himself at all. And when you can find real servants like that, those are the guys that we need to keep in.
Yeah, I know, clone. Yeah. Who knows what's going to happen to him after the cloning process? That is a downside for Mike Lee. I've introduced a bill to clone Mike Lee so that we get 100 Mike Lees in the Senate and then 435 Mike Lees in the House. And then we can go from there.
Imagine if Mike Lee were the instead of what's his name? Turtleface. I've blocked his name from
Mitch McConnell.
I cannot remember his name ever. I think I've just blocked it.
You know, look, the fact that they came up with such a bad solution is their fault. And, you know, Trump was saying, look, I've got pen in hand. I'm in the Oval Office. And as you know, we've been critical of Trump over many, many things. I 100% believe that he would sign a better health care. He will sign it. He doesn't care what's in it.
Nope.
He wants a win. And this is why it really is on Congress for this. You can't.
Oh, it's on Congress on all of it. Right now, Donald Trump has the best position in the world. I mean, not that he thinks this, not that I really believe it's good for the country, but think about this for passing bills. Congress is foaming at the mouth about Russia. Just foaming at the mouth. They can't take it. They're about to explode. Nothing will make them turn from Russia. Now would be the time to act. Now would be the time to pass a tax cut.
now would be the time to pass health reform. Now would be the time to secure the border.
Right
now.
He did an interview with the New York Times, and he was, you know, kind of went out. We haven't bothered really talking about it, but he mentioned the Jeff Sessions thing and how he shouldn't have hired him. And everybody's going crazy over that today. These are the days. This is a gift from the president. These are days to move ahead legislation, to move ahead these, because they're not going to be focusing on it when Donald Trump gives an interview. Every day of a vote, he should start the day with a New York Times interview.
Yes,
every day.
Every day. And some crazy tweet. Do it every day.
Every time there's a vote.
Replace Mitch McConnell. Replace Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan. That should be heard on Capitol Hill from you.
The Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury.
The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
We have some just incredible stories for you. Bill Nye has gone insane. Bill Nye, the science guy, he says older people need to die before we can do anything about global warming. Plus, some good news. The Albuquerque Tea Party has been granted tax-exempt status.
Oh, wow, that's great.
Yeah, yeah, they filed in 2009, but now that the Tea Party is officially really kind of over, the government has said they can start to raise money.
Oh, that's great.
And the Blue Whale Suicide Challenge, something that Stu is skeptical of, which may, I may actually be able to give him some more reason to be skeptical of this, because of what happened in Russia yesterday. Blue Whale, the suicide challenge. If you have not heard about it, it's really terrifying of what's being reported. We begin there right now.
I will make a stand. I will raise my voice. I will hold your hand. Because we have won. I will beat my drum. I have made my choice. We will overcome. Because we are one.
The fusion of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Let's start here with the Blue Whale Suicide Challenge. This is from Russia. A 22-year-old guy named Philip Lees, or Fox, sentenced yesterday to a Siberian court in a closed-door proceeding. He's going to serve his sentence not in a high-security facility, but in an open jail. Now, remember, this is a guy who has confessed that he has been responsible for the suicide of 17 people and having another 20 linked to the challenge of the challenge itself. But he was only sentenced for two attempted suicides, one of a 15-year-old, one of a 16-year-old, who failed to carry out or survive their attempts. He has denied reports that as many as 130 teens had followed through with the challenge, but alleged that another 28 teens were ready to do so. Now, here's what he did. He started the Blue Whale Challenge. And he said, I can make you commit suicide in 50 days. And, of course, teens would be, no, you can't. Yes, I can. You cannot. So, the teenager selects him as a master, and the master assigns them various tasks over the course of 50 days. Some tasks are mundane, others are more intense, such as watching horror films or waking up at 4:20 in the morning. But as the game goes on, they grow in intensity, and one of them, which is the turning point in the game, is you have to kill an animal. Go shoot a neighbor's dog or kill a neighbor's dog or whatever. The turning point is to try to get the kids in a depressive state and to keep them scattered and sleepless as much as possible. On the 50th day, the player is tasked with committing suicide.
They say that those who killed the animal killed themselves. Now, here's where it gets weird. Stu says that he's been following this story, and he thinks something is wrong with this story. And I do too, and it might just be that it's Russia. Because he's been investigated for 16 deaths. He's confessed to provoking 17, having another 20 linked to the challenge. But why is he only serving 2 years? Why was he only charged with those two? Why is he in open prison, not maximum security prison? And they say that he is still carrying it out via mail, just not on the internet. Well, there's something wrong here.
There's something wrong there. And I, you know, I think my general skepticism on the story is the scale that's been reported. I mean, this one's saying 17. Some reports are saying over 100 different girls had been killed through this process. It feels like it's going to be one of those shark attack stories where everyone freaks out about shark attacks. And then, you know, the next year we find out, oh, actually, they were down 25% from last year.
It says here, and we're from Texas, and I've not heard this. Last week, two suicides in the United States were linked to this challenge. 15-year-old from Texas and a 16-year-old from Atlanta. Hmm. Do a Google search on that. I have not. Anybody heard that?
I haven't. I mean, it's not to say, look, we live in a country of billions of people. There's examples of everything.
Billions of people. Wow.
Yes.
You want to talk about fake news. There it is.
No, they're really here. But, you know, you have examples of almost everything.
Yeah.
I mean, you can always find a story or a couple of stories. And these things, I think, clearly do exist on the internet. The question is this a widespread problem where a lot of people are participating and then going through with it? Is it something that people are kind of gawking at because they have dark parts of them that want entertainment, but they're not actually doing these things? I don't know. It feels like we're going to wind up finding out. But again, that's just my general skepticism. You read enough of these stories and you kind of see the patterns in them. There's not a lot of specifics. There's not a lot of names. There's not a lot of legitimate sources that have actually sort of picked them up. Mm-hmm. They're all kind of depending on one shady source from a long time ago. It's a weird sort of story, and I don't know. I'm a skeptic.
I'm kind of a skeptic too, because there aren't a lot of names. There's not a lot of dates. It's like that there's two teenagers in the United States, one from Texas.
I'm looking at this.
And do we have it?
It says Fox News Health. And I don't think I've ever seen a Fox News Health page before, but this looks like, it looks like, you know, that fake facial cream site that tries to make it look like People magazine. That's what this reminds me of. But sinister blue whale challenge blamed for Texas teen's death.
Yeah, well, the parents are blaming it.
Yes,
the parents are blaming it.
Are you have it on Fox News Health, or do you have it on something else?
I do not have it on Fox News Health.
What do you have? What's it on?
I have it on people.com.
Oh, boy. There's the facial cream people.
But again, this is, and again, I'm not doubting that this has, first of all, this is the parents claiming it. We don't know if that's accurate. Mm-hmm. Number two, if it is accurate, I'm not saying hasn't been one case of it. The issue is, you know,
what are you saying, Stu? Why don't you clarify?
What was the Slender Man case? Remember that from a while ago? Slender Man? It was like a phenomenon in the media.
There was that killing.
There was, Wisconsin, where was Minnesota.
And that was a real killing, right? Yeah. It was real.
And it was scary.
It was terrible. It was a terrifying story. It was a big media phenomenon for like 2 weeks. And everyone was like, oh my God, everyone's going to start killing because of Slender Man.
Yeah.
And then, you know,
wear the t-shirt of the Slender Man anymore.
Right, yeah. Remember they were banning it at schools and everything. And I feel like this is that type of story.
The Beetlejuice killings? Do you remember that?
I don't remember.
You don't remember the Beetlejuice killings?
You make fun of
Say it one more time.
Back in the late 80s?
Do not say his name one more time or it happened.
Slenderman is real. Okay.
He'll show, I think you have to be in a mirror and say Beetlejuice three times. Okay. And then
well, don't
and
test
he appears
it.
And kills.
Don't test it.
So I wouldn't test that. That would be too creepy.
Right.
But that was a big deal back in the 80s.
No,
remember
seriously?
That? Yeah.
No, you're saying that as a joke.
Yeah. Pretty much.
See, we're trying to have a real adult conversation here. That Slender Man thing freaked me out. It still freaks me out. Remember there were two girls.
It turned out mostly not true, right? I think there was one case.
There was one case. That one case just freaked me out.
Yeah, it was weird.
There were two girls.
Weird.
That killed another girl, dragged them in to feed her to Slender Man.
Yeah,
but to his point, the aftershock of that was that everything was dealt with Slender Man.
Look, they've got 500 million views on YouTube. This is going to happen everywhere,
and then it doesn't happen. Yeah. Right. By the way, the parents, we should point out, are saying they think he was doing it as a joke that went wrong. Like he was.
Oh, those are funny jokes.
Yeah, when you get hilarity.
I mean, it's just suicide, that's funny.
Yeah, hilarity ensues. But like they think he wasn't actually trying to commit suicide. He was trying to post pictures of him doing these things to participate in this challenge.
The son was doing it. I thought you meant the guy in jail was doing it.
No, the son was. So they didn't think he was actually trying. He just made a mistake. He was 15, and he tried to make the picture, I guess, too realistic. We saw this. That's what their parents are saying, at least.
Oh, my gosh. I don't want to get into gruesome stuff, but did he hang himself?
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, can you imagine?
Horrific.
No, I don't.
Especially because on something so nonsensical, right? It's something so stupid. The same thing we saw with this couple in Minnesota, 19 years old, you know, trying to be YouTube stars, and he thought it would be a really good idea to put a big encyclopedia in front of his chest and have his girlfriend shoot him.
Yeah.
Because, of course, the encyclopedia would stop the bullet. Stunningly.
Came up with that idea?
Well, I think, Jeffy, you had mentioned after the case, there was at least a story that said that they did attempt it.
Right, with another weapon.
With another weapon.
But they didn't try it with a 50 cal.
With a smaller weapon, right.
And the 50 cal is what they used when he really held it up.
50 cal?
Yeah. Yeah.
An encyclopedia set wouldn't stop a 50 cal.
Right. Yes. Right.
But that's how he talked her into doing it, though, right? Is because he showed the encyclopedia with the attempt from the other weapon saying, see, it'll work. It'll be fine. Just do it.
And so he put his girlfriend and mother of his child in a position where she has now killed him. And the kid was there watching, apparently 3 years old.
Yeah.
A horrific case.
Horrible.
All for YouTube.
But I mean, it's easy to, I think, go and say, like, look, these kids are terrible and they're doing these things on the internet and these are going to happen. Like, there are always stories like this going on all the time. We now just see all of them. And, you know, that does not mean there's going to be a mass, set of examples of this nonsense. But I mean, it's just so terrible when one of these things happen. I mean, because these things come and go in the media. We talk about them for one day and then the next day we don't talk about them at all. These families have to live with their children dying in the dumbest possible circumstance for nothing.
For entertainment.
For entertainment.
To try to be famous for a day.
Mm. And that is
famous. Really terrible.
I mean, I say this almost every day. Fame is corrosive. It is the most dangerous and corrosive thing.
And in the case of the YouTube couple, that's what they were going for, was 300,000 viewers to see their stunts. And they were saying, wouldn't it be incredible to have 300,000? And so they got more and more ridiculous with every stunt they did until he got killed. Just really sad.
What is the difference, honestly, between that and people who are online just saying outrageous things in Twitter or in, you know, video? And I mean, even some of the people, you know, in the media that will just say outrageous things, they don't really mean them.
Well, it's always worse to act it out. But yeah, saying the things leads to acting it out, right?
Well, I mean, just politically, you're just trying to. Politically, there's a lot of people, we know this, people who just want to be famous, and so they'll say things and they'll just ramp it up, and they don't mean any of it, but they think it's okay because they're going to get their slice in the sun. It's sad what we're turning into. It's sad what we think is important. Now this, are you ready to buy or refinance? Don't become another number to just another mortgage company. You need a different mortgage experience. Stu, you bought your house. Tell me about buying your house and your experience with American Financing and how they treated when you called up. Because it wasn't set up for you. You just called, right?
Yeah. I just talked to somebody. But I didn't just talk to them. I talked to five or six different mortgage companies. And went through the whole process and got a bunch of quotes. And, you know, I wanted to make sure
I got the best deal. Did you feel like the people there were listening to you?
Absolutely. I mean, they they were, you know, I really wanted a weird mortgage, not to get into all the details, but it was a very non-conventional sort of situation. And so, you know, they talked to me about other potentially smarter options than the one I was requesting. But that was the thing. And so we shopped around. They came with, they had a great offer. And I had one other offer that was really competitive with it. And I was like, you know, I'll just ask them, you know, see what they think. Ran it by them. And they said, you know what? I got to say, this particular offer, most banks will not do that. And you should take it from them. They actually directed me to take my business to another place. And, you know, they had beat all the offers on the more conventional mortgages, if you're going to be sensible. But mine, this bank decided to go, and they said, you know what, run to them and take it.
I hope this does not bite you in the ass, because you are a schemer. You're like, I'm going to roll the dice on this one. I hope it works out for you. I really do.
But no, you don't. You don't care at all. You'd rather torture me with it.
I actually do hope you go broke, because then you're more, you know, you fall right in my hands.
You got to be here.
All right. So here's the thing. I'm going to start paying you in sandwiches. American Financing, they're not making their money by selling you something that you don't want to buy. And they don't put you in jeopardy, and they don't put the company in jeopardy. They look for what is stable and sensitive, and sensible. So when you're going to a mortgage lender, go to somebody who's actually working and listening to you and giving you something that you want and deserve and that is good and is not crazy. Call American Financing right now. Reverse mortgages are a way to increase monthly cash flow with no mortgage payment while still retaining ownership of your home. But I want you to find out all the information about it. Call their number at 800-906-2440. That's 800-906-2440. It's AmericanFinancing.net.
American Financing, NMLS 182334, www.mlsconsumeraccess.org.
The Glenn Beck Program. Mercury. The Glenn Beck Program.
888-727-BECK.
So here is something that, you know, you think it's funny when you're, you know, 20 years old. Nick Lutz, he read a handwritten letter of apology from his ex-girlfriend earlier this year. He goes to University of Central Florida. He took photos of the four-page mea culpa and sent them to his friends. They said you should grade the letter and send it back to her. So he did. He jotted down critiques in the margins with a red pen like a professor. He said...
Some of the critiques were actually kind of funny.
Were they?
Long intro, short conclusion. Strong hypothesis, but nothing to back it up. Details are important. If you want to be believed, back it up with proof. Need to stop contradicting your own story and pick a side. That's funny, right?
Is it okay to be funny?
Not in today's world.
No, he gave her a D- on the paper.
Yeah,
that was
he
mean.
Said it basically. It had mean. A lack of thematic strength and useless filling sentences and lackadaisical handwriting. So
that's really funny.
He gave it a D, mm-hmm. and he sent it back to her. Now, would that have been a problem? No. Probably if she doesn't have a sense of humor at this point. I mean, you want to talk about taking somebody's apology letter. Now, I don't know what she was apologizing for.
She was apologizing kind of for the way they broke up or something. And he, I don't think, appreciated it. And so he just... He corrected her grammar.
Right. It might not be nice, however.
It's not nice.
Niceness is not required in our
but
society.
But I mean, yeah.
No, it's
is
not
it a federal offense?
Well, hang on
no.
just a second. Wait a minute. This is your son.
Yeah.
Let's say this is your son.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I think it's a douchey move for
yeah.
my son.
And that's
I'm
what
not
I would
proud
tell
of him for
that's
it.
What
and
I
would tell
any
okay.
of my
so
son.
I just wanted to set the ground. I want to set the bar here. That's not cool.
It's not cool. But should he be suspended from school?
That's a different story. Now, here's why he's suspended from school.
For two semesters.
Okay, here's why.
Ridiculous.
She said this was cyberbullying because he posted her personal letter to Twitter and Facebook Twitter had 100
and, to him.
121 retweets.
121,000.
Oh, yeah, 121,000 retweets and was liked 340,000 times as of Wednesday.
She should have been proud.
And plus, she sent it to him.
I mean, again, let me just say, this is your daughter.
No, I would feel bad for her.
I would feel bad.
When and how do we get empathy to kick in? Because you guys both know, mm-hmm. douchey move, and if it was your son, you'd be pissed.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and the daughter, if it was your daughter, you'd be pissed. You'd be really pissed at her.
Yeah.
But since it's not your daughter and not your son, it's funny.
And it's good comedy, and it's hard not to appreciate it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, look, I the empathy is there for her. I think, you know, especially like she's trying to make a move, right, to make a bad situation okay, and uh-huh. he just kind of piles on and is a jerk about it. That being said, the issue I have is not whether it's a good move or not. It's whether he should be suspended.
Yeah, being suspended
that is
from
clearly
school.
No.
She's not even a student at Central Florida.
Jeez, I mean,
is
come
that
on.
Crazy?
It's ridiculous.
That's nuts.
Yeah, I don't think the school had anything to do with it.
I'm
tired of the schools trying to
police everything.
Police everything. I think it's ridiculous.
Including, in some cases, rape, which is not their purview either, by the way.
No, if it's rape, you call the police and the people go to jail.
Yes.
That's what.
But colleges have been handling that, too.
Yeah. Which they have no right to do.
Yeah.
Back in just a second.
We are one.
The Glenn Beck Program. Mercury. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Hello, America. Welcome to the Glenn Beck Program. So glad that you've tuned in today. Let's just talk a little bit about Bill Nye the Science Guy, who is really quite brilliant.
Terrific. He's terrific.
No, he hasn't gone insane at
all.
Have
we nominated Bill Nye?
For what? The Douche Hall of Fame?
No, he's already
in
the
Douche Hall of Fame. He's a proud member of that. More than nominated there. He's been elected.
Yes.
Wow. He's a proud member of that.
He's currently serving.
He's currently serving in the Douche Hall of Fame.
All right. Well,
And that's eternal. That's forever. You can never be removed. Once that honor is bestowed, it stays with you. There's
right.
Nothing
like,
you can
even
do.
If they made large donations, if they married our children, there's
no way to get out of that. Okay. All right. Well, that's good to know.
No, I don't think there's a high risk here with Bill Nye. No. I don't.
So here's the latest. Bill Nye, by the way, has just won an Emmy for...
Nominated.
He'll win it for this.
This one goes out to all the bipeds who identify as ladies.
For all the bipeds.
World of ours is full of choice. But must I choose between only John or Joyce? All my options only. Hard or moist. My vagina has its own voice.
No,
it really doesn't.
It really doesn't.
But okay, we turned it off. We don't need to hear.
Not only
that's
is that
an Emmy nominated performance
and
there.
And it's just bad.
Oh yeah.
I was doing better bits than that when I was 17 years old in Helena, Montana.
Oh, it's bad.
And I didn't get any Emmys for it.
You didn't?
None. Mm. Not one.
I did better work on Fox News and never got an Emmy.
Please.
No. Yeah.
Well, of course the viewpoint is the big issue,
that.
Right? Although I think to be clear, I don't think it's that exact performance that got the Emmy. It's a different episode, isn't it?
Yeah, this was too good. They couldn't nominate
it. Yeah.
Oh, it wasn't this episode.
I don't know.
There was more episodes than this?
Well, he did the talking season. Ones, you know, with the girl. First of all, she claimed she was a girl, right? Because there's only two choices. Mm-hmm. And then the later thing that he's doing now where there's a million different choices.
But science hasn't changed.
No, right.
So literally, science hasn't changed, but Bill Nye the Science Guy has changed from what he used to be teaching our kids to now what he's teaching on Netflix, which is craziness.
Yeah, maybe it was the same one. I know that there was an episode we watched a little bit of on the Pat and Stu program in which they had these mannequins, right? These like faceless mannequins. That
oh my
they,
gosh,
they,
why the sexism?
That they...
why aren't they womankins?
Personakins they...
There's another name we're going to have to change, though, right?
Yep. Yeah.
But Glenn, they projected images on these mannequins,
mm-hmm.
and you know it was projection mapping, and mm-hmm. they like showed as he was talking, it was like all these things were going on behind him on these mannequins, and I'm thinking to myself, how much money did they spend on this show? This is not a minor expense. They've dumped money into this heap.
It's so bad.
It's incredible. You listen to that song, which is the easiest example to see how bad it is. But he's not engaging. He's not funny. No. He barely is reading the teleprompter. He's looking off camera. I mean, it is not a good show outside of The Viewpoint. It is solely an award for The Viewpoint. He is brave enough to say what liberals apparently want to say.
And that's disguise just, it as science. Well, he's got another one. He has now specifically targeted the elderly this week as he has spoken out against climate change deniers, saying that climate science will start to advance when old people start to, quote, age out. In other words, as soon as the old people die, we'll be able to get this through.
And you know what? He's not that far off because they have indoctrinated the kids to such an extent that they just buy into this.
Yep. It started with Al Gore. Remember, Al Gore said the same thing about global warming in 2008.
And there's things your parents don't know.
Yep.
You know better than they do. Yeah, really bad. Yeah.
He says, we're just going to have to wait for those old people to age out, as they say. I know that age out is a euphemism for die, but it will happen. I guarantee you that will happen. Next.
Yeah, well, it's because everyone dies eventually.
Yeah, it does. Next, in news that can't be true. As O.J. Simpson faces a parole board today, he served more than 8 years in a Nevada prison, and there are fresh calls to reopen the inquiry into the murders of Nicole Brown and Ronald Goldman. Apparently, there is a chance that he will not be paroled. Because he was caught pleasuring himself in jail, and they have a severe crackdown on jail rape, and apparently that leads to more jail rape.
Well, I think the issue is you want to control any sexually charged situation in that particular establishment.
And it's up to the guards to decide whether you were the female guard, according to the story, came up to check on him at that very time. So it's up to the guards to decide whether he was trying to plan that out. So that the female guard would arrive at
that moment.
Perfect.
I was watching an interview with his prison guard, apparently, his longtime prison guard. And he was like, he was great in jail. He would never caused any problems. He was, you know, very nice and engaging. And then he started saying, like, well, who was his first roommate? I guess he was cellmate. He was a mass rapist. Yeah, he was a mass rapist, but OJ got along with him really well. It's like, this is not an argument on his behalf, just so you're aware. But he said, he went through this whole thing praising him, basically about how he should get out and get parole.
Yeah.
And at the end, he's like, so do you believe him on the Nicole Brown Simpson thing? Did he do it? Yeah, I think he did it.
The world thinks he did it, right?
Yeah.
He spent how many years with the guy? And he said he denied it the entire time.
Of course, good
for
him.
But he still believes that he actually was guilty.
You got to deny it. Down to the
wire. He did it. He did it. But that's not what he's in jail for.
No.
And he should not be in jail for...
He shouldn't have spent 9 years.
33 years.
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Unless this is, you know, this is payback.
It was within the sentencing guidelines.
Yes, it was.
Nobody would have been sentenced like that.
I would say that's generally true. It's not common.
Could they take the other things that were in his record? They could not use.
I don't think they could.
They cannot use
the
killing. They cannot use the killing because he was acquitted.
He was found innocent.
Mm-hmm. However, he did have domestic abuse charges. However, we also
that could have been used against him.
I think it was. I think it was introduced, wasn't it?
Yeah. It had to have been.
Again, the way that worked, right? Like you have a sentencing guideline, a range. It's not like exactly this amount of time. Mm-hmm.
If it's your first time of trying to steal your Heisman trophies and things like that,
which is why he rolled
people
the dice.
At gunpoint.
It wasn't even the Heisman. I mean, it's dumb things like cards, you know, some of his playing cards,
is an interesting term here. His is an interesting term in that he was supposed to give those things up And instead, they magically remained all in his possession, money, even though he was supposed to be using that to pay off
the Goldmans.
Yeah. Stunningly, somehow, he had them, which, of course, is why he couldn't go to the police in the first place to get them back.
Everybody,
because he wasn't supposed to have them in the first place.
Even his victim wants him out. But yeah, even his victim is going to testify on his behalf during this parole hearing. So, I mean,
yeah,
you know, do you want him to get out?
So who has
I struggle with this because he probably did kill Nicole and Ronald Goldman, right? But
yes.
I've always been such
I don't think
an,
we have to even pause as long as Stu did.
Such an OJ
probably,
fan.
Yes.
It's hard.
Yeah, exactly.
I still have some lingering sympathy for him.
I do too.
How? Where? What?
I don't know. Does that make me a bad... I must
no,
be
it doesn't make
person,
you a bad person.
But
it makes you silly. What do you have?
No, it's just the OJ sparkle, right? It's always OJ's been a sparkle for
OJ
years.
OJ
yes,
sparkle.
I'll call it the OJ sparkle.
That's why he may not be paroled today. By the way, the little OJ sparkle.
I know that.
I will say, Glenn. You have to take this into context here. Glenn has no attachment to him as a sports athlete,
right? Because he doesn't even know he was a sports athlete.
Yes, I do, and I know that
to him, he's a guy who owned a white Bronco. That's all you know.
No, and I also know that he was a sports analyst for I think NBC. I also know that he was a movie star, in the airplane
but
movies.
You
was
using
that term
loosely. It was Naked Gun, but you did not have that attachment as a child watching this guy. He was the best athlete of all time. You saw him as a B-level celebrity later in life that was doing Hertz commercials.
Yeah.
And so I don't have that attachment. Like, I don't say, I want him to get out because I liked him as an athlete or I loved the Naked Gun movies. But it's a process situation. And, if he got 9 years minimum, he served that time. He was an example prisoner. And the process is important here. Mm-hmm. Even though I think the outcome is terrible, this guy is a murderer and he should be in prison forever.
100%.
The process is important.
I agree with you 100%. If he was a model citizen, if this is the minimum sentence that he could give, and you can't take into account what the new judge thinks or the new parole board thinks about you and what you did to Ronald and Nicole, because you can't use that. If they're honestly going in there and they will do the same thing to OJ that they would do to somebody else who was not OJ, who was a model...
he should be treated
You should be
fairly.
Treated exactly the same.
And even though he doesn't deserve it, he should be.
This is what we've always said. If you're a celebrity, it shouldn't preclude you from being prosecuted. You should get the same treatment as everybody else. But neither should you be treated more harshly
than
other people.
It's almost like justice is deaf. Mute. No, blind.
Right.
Yes.
Blind.
That's what it is. But we don't really believe in that anymore.
No, we don't.
I do. And I think some people
society
do.
Society
does. It's tough in a situation like this because, look, he killed two people. He should be in prison for the rest of his life.
He was innocent of that, by the way.
I was aware. I followed the trial closely.
You know what? And that's why he's not in jail, but that doesn't mean
he is in jail.
No, not for that.
Not for that.
That's not what... I mean, just because he was found innocent by a court of law, that means that he's not in jail and I don't go round him up and try to put him in my own Glenn Beck jail. But that doesn't mean I have to believe that the jury was right.
And the jury, by the way, even the jury is admitting now
that
they weren't right. Even jurors are saying the reason why we let him off is because of the larger racial component at the time. This is on film, people saying this. By the way,
there was no racial component except that
he used it very well.
Yeah,
to his own advantage.
They used it.
Yes.
However, you look at the polling over this, which is really, I think, encouraging. In that, yes, there was a real racial split for a long time where African Americans reflexively said he was innocent. White people said he was guilty.
They don't anymore.
They don't. They've been convinced over time. African Americans have no longer believe OJ was innocent of those crimes in large numbers. And there's a huge drop off in that. And the two races have come much closer together.
In a room today that would be more, that was a celebrity-ish, who it would be more unpopular than O.J. Simpson?
Other than you?
I am
present
not,
company accepted?
You cannot include me.
No.
That's a tough one. That makes it really hard.
Yeah. It does, yeah. Because, that springs immediately to mind.
Yeah, okay. We have to stop dwelling on that part of it right now. Can you think of anybody that would be more universally despised That's a celebrity-ish kind of person.
I don't know. I was reading a book about Steve Bannon that just came out by Joshua Green.
Yeah.
And in there, they talk about Donald Trump's Q scores and positive reaction scores. This is when he was on The Apprentice.
Yeah.
And one of the things that was great about Trump for advertisers is his ratings with African-Americans and Hispanics were through the roof for a normal celebrity. They were tremendous.
Wow.
And you know, he talks about...
That's why he said...
That's why he was so confident about winning the African-American vote, which obviously didn't wind up happening. But that's when he was making those claims, advertisers had told him forever, you want a way to target African-Americans and Hispanics, advertisers would go to The Apprentice. It was like the gold standard for that. And
wow.
It wasn't until he turned on the birther stuff that they turned on him and his ratings went through the floor. And at the time that they tested it, the last time they tested him before he went into politics, his rating, Trump's rating among African Americans and Hispanics was the lowest of anyone they tested, with the exception of the situation, the Jersey Shore guy, who I guess I don't even remember.
He was the situation.
He was one of the guys on the Jersey Shore, apparently. I don't even remember. He was the only one that tested lower than Trump when he used to have some of the highest ratings. But that was probably why he made all those claims about, like, I'm going to win 40%, 50% of the African-American vote. There was a time that you could argue he may have been able to pull that off. It
and
wasn't
I
until he started
if
the birther
anyone
stuff.
Anyone ever told him that his numbers went through the floor?
No way.
I mean, people don't tell him stuff. He doesn't want to hear that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So I wonder if anybody told it or if they told it to him and he just dismissed it as wrong.
It's probably true. He probably thought, "Nah, that's BS, fake news." You know,
is Bill Cosby more disliked?
No,
probably not. Right?
No.
No, Jay.
Most people.
I don't know. He's getting there.
Bill's getting there.
He's getting there. I think the issue with OJ and Bill Cosby and some of these other celebrities is they've had periods where they were liked. There's probably
huge
somebody out
period.
There
not just liked.
Yeah, that just was
loved.
Not liked.
They were loved.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, this new survey shows investors are more comfortable holding cash than investing in traditional assets. Amen. They consider a crash of a global bond market and policy mistakes by the central banks to be the biggest risks in the market today. That could happen at any time. You have how much of your life savings in bonds? How much of your life savings do you have in stocks? How much do you have in your 401k or your IRA? And you don't even look at it. I'm telling you, there is a massive correction coming. It has to. I don't know when. This is not the thing I do for a living, and is look at these things.
But every responsible analyst is saying that.
Every single one.
Yeah.
Every single one. And they're actually kind of thinking that it might happen this fall. I don't know about that. I'm not good at timing. But it is going to come. And when it hits, if you're my age or a little older, God help you if you have all your money in stocks and bonds and cash. Please call Goldline now. Find out about their price protection program at 1-866-GOLDLINE. Call them right now, 1-866-GOLDLINE or goldline.com.
This is
the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
The Glenn Beck Program.
O.J. Simpson, Bill Cosby, and Gwyneth Paltrow in the same room.
Yeah.
Which one do you go to talk to?
OJ.
OJ.
For sure, OJ.
Absolutely.
Without question.
Gwyneth is just so damn weird.
Weird.
I think I throw in earplugs and go to Gwyneth.
I do, too. But I don't listen to her. Not a word she says.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.